sister with my sister in a coffee. She is the real empress, like Empress Menon. In my kitchen, there's no chicken. I strictly vegetable when they're not spicing in the kitchen. Want to say in dreadlocks? Well, I am more than a naughty dread, and more than that, I am a Rasta man, and that's a factor. And all who come a talk and me say, all who come a chat, tell them I'm a Rasta man, and that's a factor. When them say I'm an, I ain't no actor, but I am strictly a music.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
You got 24 hours in a day. 8 hours you sleep, right? And most people work a 9 to 5. So 8 hours you're working.
16 hours.
Okay, so we have 16 hours. We got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So there's 19. It take you an hour to get ready. So we have 20 hours. So I cannot spend, you guys cannot spend 4 hours going talking about, oh, they lying. Oh, I like this photo. Oh, they faking. Sending photos to other people. Y'all got to get focused. I'm where I'm at because I'm focused. Tunnel vision. I'm focused on what I got to do. Y'all got to have a game plan.
Got to get focused.
Between you and me, we should get involved. No, 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 little. The things we do, don't tell it all. No, 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 little. You got that midnight child.
think that maybe I could change my ways
with you.
Yeah, yeah.
With
you. I can't take knowing I can't love you right, but you can't escape
with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Astray, and I can't help it. I can't help it. Love too hard to fall on the way. And I can't help you. I can't help you.
If I'm honest,
it's hard to tell the truth of where I'd rather be. I'd rather be.
I can barely open my eyes this morning. Saint Jean should be a week long. They got to stop putting holidays in the middle of the week. How we have a holiday on Thursday, then go back to work on Friday? But I'm on vacation, so it's a beautiful thing. Montreal, my city, I want to welcome you guys to the next best 2 hours of your life, of your week. This is the Morning Detour, the premier morning show. I'm your host, Weezy Moonchaser, alongside supermodel Larina PR. She's coming off the Morning Detour photo shoot over the weekend. She's looking like a lime green starburst. You killed it, ma.
Oh, my goodness. The dramatics.
But I ain't gonna front. You're an attractive woman, but you really took it to the next level for the photo shoot. I was very impressed. I'm like, how Larina looking like a top model with the glitter? Shout out to Annie, the makeup artist. Shout out to Saturday, the stylist. They did a great job.
Marie Perry, she wants to be Mary. You know, people have names. So shout out to Mary for coming through. Shout out to Saturday and Alana Morrison Studios, AMP Studio X on Instagram. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she did a great job. She was great. You know, the photographer's having a great time in the photo shoot. When she starts to laugh, she's like, where's the music? When she starts to vibe, people, when these pictures come out, you know, we're revamping the Morning Detour, adding new drops, getting new press pictures. This is looking good. I felt really good after that photo shoot. How did you feel after that joint?
No, I felt good. I think I can't wait to see the photos. I think they're going to be really, really dope. So I've been waiting for these photos for like over a year now. I was about to say that.
And you guys are going to see the little backstage video clips that we're going to post up when we do the rollout. Larina is very adamant that people understand that her and I is not a couple, but we do have this breakfast kind of setting. Larina, I know I'm not good enough for you, Larina. I know. I get it.
I'm trying to make it as like clear as possible, even though like close friends know, but other people not knowing, they might be like, this looks a little, you know how people perceive things. So
listen, I was very excited to wear a robe with my name on it. That's all I care about. So let me tell you, I don't know how everybody's feeling right now, but there's a storm coming. Every so often I talk about the shitstorm, Larina. Mm-hmm. It is coming. The news. We don't know if the tuna in Subway is real. They're freezing out the English sea jeps. Legault says we have enough holidays. Nothing for the Aboriginals. I said, we just found all these bodies under these residential schools and you can't even give them a blight and give them a holiday. Y'all done took their land and they can't even get a holiday. And your response to them is like, we have enough holidays. Global News is also talking about, Larina, 29 planets that they're saying could have aliens that are watching us. So we could be part of a reality show that aliens are watching. I don't know if it's a good reality show or not, but I can tell you it's definitely thrilling.
I think this last season was like a good one.
it's like the world reality show versus Love and Hip Hop. Which one would be better, right?
Well, season 2020, that was a good one.
And also, we're going to talk about this in the news. There's a new poll that came out. Is Canada a racist country? boy, this is an action-packed question. Quebecers had some different thoughts.
Of course.
Different people and different age groups across the country had some different thoughts. So we'll digress to talk about that. How do you feel about Quebec creating a lottery to try to encourage people to get a vaccine, Lorena? Legault was thinking about it. He's thinking about a lot of things, trust me.
I feel like that's a waste of time. I feel like they're trying too many different things to get people to get vaccinated, and they need to see it's not working. So yeah. I think they should focus their efforts on something else.
No, it's definitely super rare, and that's a great segue. We have a plethora of guests on the show on the Morning Detour. We have Rima Wardini. She's a health professional, and we spoke about the vaccine and just how it impacted her industry. And we're periodically, over the next couple weeks, going to have different professionals. And I want to know how this whole vaccine thing has impacted their profession. So I spoke to her about the vaccine. She has some great thoughts about it. She has some great natural options for people as well. Apparently, vitamin D is the wave, Lorena. So I'm trying to get with you on this vitamin D. And the more I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about Subway and the tuna, maybe fake, maybe not be fake. I'm like, I'm going to have to go totally vegan like Lorena, or go more your direction in terms of healthy eating choices. We know Montrealers love their domestic animals. We know Montrealers love their cats and dogs, and especially during the pandemic, there was a huge rise in people demanding cats and dogs from the SPCA. But we have a heroic story brought to us by a friend of the show, Spark Davidson. He's a publisher of Four in the Morning magazine. He's also an entrepreneur. He got his dog kidnapped a couple days ago, Lorena, and the heroic lady saved the dog from the person that apparently kidnapped the dog. So that's a heroic story. He's also pushing Lorena for Valerie Plante to have a special commendation for Montreals that do heroic things. I thought we had that already. Don't we have Montreal heroes? Do you get kind of like a key to the city? Because you always see it in TV shows in the States where whoever city you're from, if you help an elderly lady from a burning building, you'll get like a key to the city or a special commendation. Do you think we should have something like that in Montreal?
Definitely. I know CBC has like Montrealer of the Month. Mm-hmm. They have things like that, but I don't think it's that big. I feel like when you see stuff in the States, I feel like it's a big deal. It's like a big press conference, but I would love to see that here too.
Well, listen, that's what's up. And of course, I know the Canadians are looking like they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals, but y'all know I'm a basketball head. The NBA, we're down to the conference finals. We have the Suns, Clippers. We have the Hawks and the Bucks. So, Lorena, I brought on some basketball aficionados. I brought on my good friend, Mike Roach. He's Raptors TV broadcast assistant. He also is the host of OXP Media. And I brought in New York's fitness coach, Evan Fidelis. So, we spoke about the playoffs. We spoke about Ben Simmons not being able to make a jump shot. Very riveting stuff. What a morning. We got some new music. You know, I want to mellow it out. I know people can barely open their eyes. They're angry because they had to go to work. So, I had the vibes this morning. So this is the Morning Detour. Let's get everything ready. It's the mighty CKUT 90.3 FM. Legends live here.
It will not fade alone. It will not fade alone. It will not fade alone. No, don't give me your name. No, I don't need your number saved in my phone. Just follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me home. Got my rings in my California cane. Let me get you alone. Just follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me home. Let's just feel this feeling. Let's just feel this feeling. High up as the ceiling. Let's just feel this feeling. Let's just feel this moment. We can make it last. Let's just feel this feeling right now, right now. It will not fade.
Let's just feel this feeling. Let's just feel this feeling. Let's just feel this feeling. that faded love, 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 love. You want that faded love.
I get my white cup up before I get my white girl up. Before I get my half Dominican girl up, I need real love. I'm going on my fourth trip of the day. I keep a full third bird Jamaica. I'ma find your G-spot like your job location. Man, I'ma give all this shit up one day. Get some love from a video vixen on the runway. You can't hold it against a king, baby. You should've made me better what I need. You should've upgraded me already. You should've made love to me already. I done spent $1 million on you already. Out of my diamonds for you, already. If you love, you can teach me. You wanna learn, take your father in Jerusalem. But it's my turn. We so spiritually connected. We going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Ultra Park.
The Morning Detour.
See the way you show my girl, I can't blame you. I can't blame you. Yeah. You know the way. You know your angle. I can't tame you.
Internationally known on this microphone. Holyfield, Ross Craig, we at Tyson's though. Lonely nights, I'm alright. I can vibe alone, so don't be tired. I'm quiet, no inquiring though. I know your angles. Wave at them bitches, show your bracelet. Cartier stacking for days, look like Thanos. You saying the universe ain't grateful. I put infinity stones on all your fingers. Generous when I got feelings for who I got. Feelings for when I'm not feeling you, girl, I'm not dealing with other feelings. I feel that you feel a lot. Cause I be in my feelings, I'm giving you what I've got. Maybe I'm on your page, maybe I got your heart. Maybe I can't love you cause I don't know where to stop. And chasing your potential, potential ain't enough. I guess I am what I am, but you are who you was, what's up?
See the way you show now, girl, I can't tame you. I can't blame you, yeah. You know the way to pose, you know your angle. I can't tame you, I can't tame you.
You look good, girl.
Good.
Okay, this energy's giving me sex symbol. Pose for me, girl, I think I'm the best with you. Pose for me more, I think you're the best for me. Now post when I'm done and credit your ex, nigga. Hey, you petty, you flex different. You know I be the plug, the one to connect with you. Now go up in these stores and tell them who mess with you. You know I take you home, but now you address different. Woo! I ain't tricking, we clicking, and I ain't tripping. You sipping reposado, consider what I say my sentences. I be with hood, christening them, or the slime. It's Sean Falon, and I've been popping back when Papa came out. I be like, shawty, shawty, put that shit on and take a pic. I bet you catch a body. 650, I pull up, they gon' 180 to us. They gon' be hating on us, but you be straight, then I be straight. And ain't no angle to it, let's do it. Woo! Hey, press.
See the way you're showing now, girl, I can't tame you. I can't blame you, yeah. You know the way to pose, you know your angle. I can't tame you, I can't tame you. I can't change you, oh.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Montreal, my city. Welcome back to The Morning Detour. I'm your host, Weezy Moonchaser, alongside Lorena. Now's about the time for us to do some local and international news. Now, I keep telling y'all about the shitstorm. Things can only go one way. There's a revolution happening, Lorena. The Anglophone is the Avengers. I think Francophones are like DC. I don't know what's going on, Lorena. But let's begin the madness. Trudeau's party passes bill to regulate social media streaming, according to Bloomberg. So Canadian lawmakers passed a controversial bill that aims to regulate programming distributed by media streaming services and social platforms like Facebook and YouTube, a measure that critics warn could infringe on individual speech. You know they were coming. Many other countries have tried to do this. It's a really, really hard thing to do. So the legislation drafted by Justin Trudeau's government, and Justin Trudeau's government is doing a lot, Lorena. They're doing so much. So the bill is known as C-10, is meant to subject tech giants to the same requirements as traditional broadcasters, effectively compelling companies like Netflix Inc. and TikTok Inc. to finance and promote Canadian content. It's among the most far-reaching plans by governments anywhere to regulate the algorithm tech companies use to amplify or recommend content. This is wild. Because, you know, this is the problem, right, Lirina? In an age when everyone is a potential publisher, the act to amend the Broadcasting Act could affect individual expression on social media and other digital platforms that rely on user-generated content. Spots. Somebody needs to show me evidence, Lirina, of how this language is in danger, how Francophones are in danger, how their culture is in danger, because I need to see a precedent. I need to see where this is coming from. So Quebec will freeze the baseline number of spots in English language CEGIPs in Quebec for the next 10 years, Premier François Legault said in a press conference on June 18th. On the other end of the spectrum, the government announced that it would add 21,814 spots in French language CEGIPs over the next decade. Okay, we get it. You guys want to make everybody talk French and go to French school. We get it. So, Bill 96 is clear. Anglophones represent 8% in Quebec, and they will get 8% of the new places in the future, said Premier Legault. Hold on, Lirina. Hold on. Hold on. He said, we only represent 8%, so we only get 8% love. Okay, that's granted. But how do you quantify the impact of Anglophones in the city, in the province? How do you quantify the resonance and the culture we bring? Yeah, numerically, you might only represent 8% of the population, Anglophones. But our impact is so far-reaching. We need to be able to quantify the impact. Legault is shortchanging the influence of the Anglophone community within the province of Quebec. How do you feel, Arena?
I'm like you. It's a bit confusing. Like, I would like someone to explain to us how the French language is in danger. Maybe if I understood it more, I would be more like empathetic to the whole situation. But I think when you're starting to mess with like people's education, right, and people being able to really comprehend like what's happening, what they're learning, and dishing out that sort of money for school, that's a big deal. Like, I don't know how well that's going to pan out. I don't know if another wave of people are going to move out of the province again with these changes, because that always seems to happen. But yeah, I don't know about this one.
You beat me to it. The more I'm going to talk about this, people, the more I'm going to go through the news, I know a lot of y'all going to be looking at your radios and be like, or listening on your headphones and be like, yo, it might be time for us to move. But that's what they want, right? That's the point. I'm born and raised in Quebec. No one's going to rush me out of my province, out of my city. This is why we have the Anglophone Avengers.
We're international.
We broadcasting. We could do this from anywhere. My boy Tony just hit me up. He's like, I'm in Jamaica now. No news of coming back to Toronto. He's like, yeah, I'm in Jamaica now. I'm going to work from here. I said, more power to you, brother. Shout out to you. So the Avengers are forming up, the Anglophone Avengers, so prominent Anglos unite to fight changes to language laws. The group says it's decided to proceed with a task force because members feel they have been abandoned by the major political parties in Quebec's legislature and federal parliament. We're pulling the finger at you, Mr. Justin Trudeau. We're pulling the finger at you, the Liberal Party. So a group of English-speaking Quebecers is forming a task force to oppose language law reforms proposed by the Quebec and federal governments. Describing Quebec's language reform legislation, Bill 96, and Ottawa's Bill C-32, reforming the Official Language Act, as a toxic combination for English-speaking Quebecers, the task force is being brought together by constitutional lawyer Colin Standish. It's always a good look when there's a lawyer in the task force. I feel good, right? I'm like, okay, this is a strong Avengers team. I'm going to quote him in saying, we really want to ring the alarm bells for all Canadians and Quebecers, Standish said in the interview. Something fundamental is going on. Bill C-32 and Bill 96 restructure our federation and our constitution in fundamental ways. The basic individual and civil liberties of all Quebecers are at stake, regardless of language. Let me restate that in case y'all missed it. The basic individual and civil liberties of all Quebecers are at stake, regardless of language. So, Lorena, just so their French language is holding on this golden pedestal and it's in gold plaque, they're willing to risk it all. They moving like 50 Cent back when he came out with Get Rich or Die Trying. They're willing to risk it all, Lorena, to preserve the French language. Boy, I tell you. Lorena's just looking at me like, I don't know. It's all these bills. They try to pass 8 different bills at once, and they're trying to make the federal government recognize French across the province. Like, I don't know how much things they're trying to do at once. And it's an election year.
It's a lot. And it's, to me, because Montreal is different within Quebec.
Yeah.
Because we're such a multicultural city. Like, there's a lot of tourism that comes here, and I know Quebec City too, but here is a big thing. We have a lot of festivals, a lot of people from the U.S. that come. I don't know.
I got more people. Start packing your bags. Look and see that cheap flight. You might need to get the vaccine. You might have to cross the waters. Is Canada a racist country? A third of people tell posters, yes. So a third of the country believes Canada is a racist nation, according to a new poll from the Angus Reid Institute. So the institute found the visible minorities and women were most likely to say that Canada is racist than men. How do you take that in so far? Visible minorities and women were most likely to say that Canada is racist than men.
Women are smart.
I ain't gonna fight you on that. So additionally, the survey found that 12% of people polled believe that some races are superior to others. Now, let me just pause here for a second. In 2021, there's still people that have this caveman mentality that they're superior to other people. How? Economically? By skin color? How does skin color make you superior? How does money make you superior? Money does afford you certain allowances that people without money can't afford themselves to have. But that doesn't make you superior as a person. Nobody's superior to anybody.
We would like to think that,
yeah.
Unfortunately, how society has set this thing up.
You always talk about that, Lorena. Well, Lorena, I was like, well, the way this thing came together, right? Originally, their blueprint was kind of shaded to begin with, right?
Exactly.
But this is alarming to me that 12% of people in Canada still believe that they're superior to other people. This is, you know, people think, oh, it's only 12%, but we're talking about 12% of the population. That's still millions of people that have this certain kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. Over 40% went as far to say that people find discrimination where there's none, and it is a big problem in Canada, bigger than people not being able to see discrimination when it does exist. So basically, a lot of people are, 40% of people are saying we're crying wolf. there isn't a disparity the way visible minorities are being treated opposed to Caucasian. There isn't a disparity the way Aboriginals are treated versus everybody else in the country. These things are just figment of people's imagination. we're all in a Disney movie, Lorena. This is Pixar. It's not real. I'm not rolling. Let's go to Quebecers. Quebecers were the least likely, with less than a quarter saying they believe racism is a problem here. As Lorena stated in the segment in the news before, Montreal is the melting pot. Everything outside of Montreal is pretty much predominantly Francophone. So we're just English on the island. We're just an island in the fluff by ourselves. 3/4 of people over 55 said Canada is not a racist country. I like to preface that a lot of these people over 55 are probably that baby boomer age, and you know, they're around in the 60s and the 50s, and those, we all can tell, those were different times. So people who disagreed that Canada is a racist country were typically older, more conservative people, according to Angus Reid. Boy, Lorena. And people say, you know, Canada is a beautiful country. There's a lot of nice people here. But this facade that we're very different than the States, it's starting to get much clearer. It's starting to get much clearer. And nothing is more clear than this. Legault is not in favor of a statutory holiday in Quebec dedicated to Indigenous people.
I thought that was so rude.
So it's twofold for me, Lorena. Is his response, we have enough holidays? And two, the level of how dismissive he was about it. So you guys took these people's land, pushed them to the far top of all the provinces, gave them alcohol and drugs. A whole plethora of them are lost.
Stripped them of their culture by bringing them to all these residential schools.
Bodies are being found now, decades later, and you can't even give the Indigenous people of Canada a statutory holiday. Well, in Quebec. He goes, Legault goes, there's still a lot of work to do for reconciliation with Indigenous people, the premier added. We are coordinating with the federal government to do the necessary research into the residential schools that are here in Quebec. Okay, that's cool and fine, but we're talking about on a larger scale. Can we recognize these people properly? Can we acknowledge them the way we should? St. Patrick's Day. Everybody St. Jean-Baptiste Day. But God forbid you ask them to get rid of St. Jean-Baptiste Day.
They're never going to get rid of St. Jean in Quebec. That's a no.
But that's the thing, Lorena. That shows the institutional systemic racism in itself, right? Mm-hmm. You guys rather applaud St. Jean-Baptiste Day over even implementing a holiday for the Indigenous people. And they were here before the early Nouveau-France settlers came here.
Yep.
It's awkward. It's an awkward thing. You know what I mean? For those that don't know, historically, the racial segregation of Indigenous people in Canada has been enforced by the Indian Act, the reserve system, the residential schools, and Indian hospitals, among other programs. These policies interfered with the social, economic, cultural, and political systems of Indigenous people, while also paving the way for European settlement across the country. They raped, they pillaged, they segregated, and they still can't even get a holiday.
But that's what's wrong with even like the whole voting system. Is Canada a racist country and all those things? You have to look at the population of Canada as a whole. Like, I would assume there's more white people. We're populated with more white people than we are of people of color, right?
Yeah.
So would they even realize when racism is happening in front of them? Like,
You're a deep thinker, Lolo. That's real.
But they, not to put blame or whatever. Like, sometimes if you don't know, you don't know because of what you're surrounded with, what you grew up with. And then on the outside looking in, like, all of Canada says Quebec is the most racist province in all of Canada. So of course, all of these people all around Quebec and Timbuktu and whatever, they're not like realizing what they're doing is racist. Like, they just feel like, oh no, we're gonna just say no to an Indigenous Day and whatever. Like, they don't see any problem with it, which is wild to me.
So with all of this going on, Global News puts out this report a couple of days ago, and it says aliens could be watching Earth from 29 nearby planets, scientists say. So a new scientific report suggests that there are 29 planets in our cosmic neighborhood where alien life could potentially see and hear evidence of humans on Earth based on humanity's own techniques for studying the universe. So based on our scientific limitations on what we're able to do, if we're using that same inference for aliens, they should be able to see what's going on here. Now, I'm not quite sure if they like their programming. I'm not quite sure they like what they're seeing. They're seeing a lot of greed. They're seeing a lot of vanity. But the report was published Wednesday by two New York-based astronomers in the journal Nature in an effort to narrow down our own search for alien life among the stars. It doesn't attempt to prove that anyone is actually out there listening or that they want to hear from us if they were. The reporter simply tries to determine where our most likely alien audience would be. Well, it's always good to know your demographic, to know your audience. If they're on Mars, they're definitely not feeling us. Because they're like, yo, listen, if y'all think y'all gonna come here and do what y'all did on Earth, I think not. And let me end with this last story. Boy, Lorena, I think I might just start eating plant-based foods from now on. I don't know what's going on. And look how funny this is. I go through these phases, Lorena, where like I'll just eat a particular chain or eat a particular food for a week. Mm-hmm. And last week, I just had a craving for Subway. And then this news article come on. Now I can't go back to Subway again now. Now it's around because I'm skeptical. And that's the thing with food chains and with news reports. That's how perception is so important. Because even though this may or may not be true, they've already cast the die already. They've already smudged the face of Subway now. And I was already on edge after Jared, right? So they got me back after Jared, so now I'm here. So let me hit y'all with this. So a lab study determines there's no amplifiable tuna DNA in Subway tuna sandwiches amid lawsuit against chain. So the New York Times tested more than 60 inches worth of Subway tuna sandwiches from California locations to determine if the sandwiches had one out of five different tuna species. The Washington Post was the first to report the allegations made by two California residents, Karen and Nilima, who filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. So the seafood list compiled by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration defines 15 species of fish that could be labeled as tuna. Okay, so I'm rolling so far. So, Lorena, Subway claims that they use skipjack and yellowfin tuna species that the lab used by the New York Times would be able to detect. So, no amplifiable tuna DNA was present in the sample, and so we obtained no amplification products from the DNA, the lab study concluded. Therefore, we cannot identify the species. The New York Times is really scratching their head with this one. It's like, okay. The lab spokesperson added, there's two conclusions. One, it's so heavily processed that whatever we could pull out, we couldn't make an identification on. Or we got some and there's just nothing there that's tuna. Is it overprocessed? I don't think that's a good look for things to be overprocessed. I think anything over anything is not a good look. Yeah. Or is nothing really there? Like, both conclusions don't make me feel better, Lorena. But I'll add this, you know, in all transparency, when tuna is cooked, its DNA becomes denatured, meaning that the test results could be inaccurate due to the change. The New York Times added, Inside Edition similarly commissioned a lab study in February using the tuna from three Subway locations in Queens, New York. Their results conclude that the chain does use real tuna. So I guess in Cali, it's suspect tuna, and on the East Coast, it's real tuna?
I don't know about that. But then if it's cooked and what did you say when it's cooked?
When it's cooked, it could become denatured. The DNA can become denatured.
So does that mean the nutrients that you're supposed to get from the tuna are gone? Because sometimes that does happen when you cook stuff.
Subway needs to get an air fryer. I'm a big air fryer kind of. But much of my city, that's all I have for the news. Let's play some more hot blazing music. It's the Morning Detour on the mighty CKUT 90.3 FM.
Best friend to my bad friend. Best friend to my bad friend. Started off as best friends. Now you my bad friend. Romantic relationship. Girl, it's a blessing. We started off as best friends. Now you my best friend. COVID relationship. Hope this don't get in. I had a girl, you had a man. One thing I didn't understand is how you be on my mind. Feeling guilty like it's a crime. We be texting, talking all day. But there's so many things I want to say. Think I'm tired of pretending. Not to mention, no attention. Tired of pretending. My intentions got restrictions. Listen closely, let me tell you how I feel. Girl, you know this shit we got right here is real. Started off as best friends. Now you my best friend. Open relationship. Girl, it's a blessing. We started off as best friends. Now you my best friend. COVID relationship. Hope this don't get in. My best friend that turned into my best friend. See, we started off as best friends. Now you my best friend. COVID relationship. Hope this don't get in.
Started off as your best friend. My life, you can't question. How the hell do we go from kicking it to sexing? Ooh, it's a very risky situation. Can't let my emotions overtake me. First was innocent, then you put down and got it all in. Now it's telling me to say no, but the body wanted it. Baby, now I just can't get enough. Hope you fall.
Your body's calling me. You're my
see my love. You're the baddest one. Gave you all my love that you can have. We should get away somewhere and run it up. I'm trying to fall in love.
She just wanna turn up with her girls, get the stress off. And I just wanna take her to the room, get that dress off. Even though I'm in a good mood, I f*** you like I'm pissed off. And don't give me no attitude, you gon' make my d*** soft. How she wanna f*** me cause I'm lit now? Yeah, how she wanna f*** me cause I'm rich now? We can link out at the club, I got a pimp down. Second till I shoot it, come so fast, I made her get down. She got no ass in the, she a 10 now. She got no ass in the, she a 10 now.
Sex him off.
You're the baddest one. Gave you all my love that you've been at now. We should get away somewhere and run it up. I'm trying to fall in love.
She got no ass in the, she a 10 now. She got no ass in the,
sex him up.
You know I got your back, baby. We ain't gotta talk about it. Your booty sticking out. They gotta walk around and take my queen to King of Diamonds. PJ, I switched to climbing. It ain't no seat assignment. Goes, I'll wake up on the island. I'll bring your friends so y'all can f*** it up. Does it a couple trip? I brought a couple zips. I brought some and some You think we flew here? Oh, we gon' really trip. See on fingertips. Yeah, I'ma kiss them lips. I'm talking both of them. I told her right it. And I'm the chauffeur. I hit it from the side, then I make a fold up. It's too wet for me to f*** you on my sofa. Mess it up.
Yeah. Sexy, sexy, mommy. You're the baddest one. Baddest. Gave you all my love that's been at now. It's been at
it. Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID vaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, my city. Welcome back to the Morning Detour. Wheezy Moo chasing the building. Now, I've never been the biggest animal person, but I have a domestic pet in my life now, and I understand now how people can really form these bonds and this love for their domestic pets and animals. But one thing that the government or the police, or just in general, we don't talk about in a society is that, hey, listen, man, there's people out there that's thiefing animals, dog napping, and there's not really a proper recourse by the police. So I'd like to bring on to the show Mr. Pilot, Mr. Four in the Morning, Mr. Sparks Davidson. He got a very interesting story for us this morning. Sparks, how you doing, King?
Hey, good morning, Wheezy, man. How you doing, bro?
No, I'm good, man. Listen, it's Friday. I'm always excited to do the detour. So what's happened? You hit me up earlier this week. I'm hearing dog napping. I'm hearing police don't care. I'm hearing a little girl intervene. What happened, Sparks?
All right, let me give you the most insane story that people ever heard, you know, for dog. I mean, there's a lot of insane story, but this is the most insane story of my life. So last Tuesday, which I believe is the 14th of June, at around 9 o'clock in the morning, I was out with my dogs in our back area, which is conjoined with a parking lot in the back of our condo in St. Henry. And we were out I was out sitting there just enjoying the sun, waking up, about to start my day, this, that, the other, and I had a coffee. I was making a coffee. So I went in the house to get my coffee, and inside of 2 minutes, so my dog, I come out, I don't see Minnie. I go to one of her three spots, and I know she'll go chase squirrels. It's at the other. Yeah. And no Minnie. Within 30 minutes of walking the block, panicking, and the emotions getting deeper every like 5 minutes longer, and every spot that I know that she's not there, and she, coming back to the house thinking she's got to be in the house. She's not in the house. My reality is starting to set in deeper. I make some phone calls. I call friends. I start assembling a team to help me look for her, and I call the SPCA. Mm. It's about 9:30. Right. Let's fast forward. As a matter of fact, yeah, SPCA asked me to call the Montreal police, and I do in Verdun. And the police agent answering the phone was like, why are you calling me? This is the police. I'm calling you because just in case somebody does report a dog stolen, you know, or missing or, right. or something like that, you know, like you have a description, you know what's going on. And he's like, well, we don't really do that. I'm like, look, man, the SPCA clearly just told me to call you and advise you. I'm just doing what they told, what I was told. Right. So I forced the police officer almost really to take Minnie's description and my number in case somebody calls and say they found a dog. All right. 11:30, I'm broken down. I'm literally like I've lost my child. It's I don't know how to really do.
How long have you had the dog, Sparks? How long have you had this?
Well, she's a daughter of my. I had the first one for like 7 years, and she got pregnant. And she had five puppies, and I gave them out to my closest people, and I kept Minnie. She okay. was the last one, so okay. I've had her for like 5 years now. Yeah. You know? So and she looks like a little puppy. She's a really, really special, you know, little character that just is really a happy dog. That's her problem. She's too happy. She likes too many people. So anyways, she's not the type of dog that will growl if you approached her. She would jump up on her back feet and wave at you. So anyways, I get a call 11:30 from the SPCA saying that they think they retrieved Minnie and that Minnie was on her way from a rescue company that they contract, that they found her in Verdun. And she's on her way to DeCary and Jean Talon to the SPCA.
How did she get ask there, Sparks? How did she get to Verdun?
I didn't know at that point. I didn't even ask them that question. I was just like, oh my God, are you serious? They were asking me questions about her. She like this color? She not? Yes, yes, yes. So now I email a picture of Minnie over. They call me back to confirm that it's Minnie, but I'm already on my way driving to the SPCA. When I get to the SPCA, Minnie's there. We both fall down. We literally, like, people are crying. I'm crying. Mm. And I'm really, really happy to have my dog. And my dog is just in my arms, licking my face. Like, it's a tearful moment, really, in the SPCA. I know this sounds maybe to some people strange, but this is like
no,
your heart.
Strange, part of your, you know, I mean, you invested your time and your energy into something, and you know, you've yeah, built an attachment to it. Yeah.
If you don't love your animal that you have and you're there to take care of, you took this animal on. They weren't responsible for it. The animal didn't, you know, you chose the animal. You know, they say animals choose you. Hey, stop, Minnie, stop. Yeah,
Minnie's trying to get her 15 minutes this
morning.
Y'all
didn't do that last week, you know what I'm saying? So now they tell, now I have my dog. I asked them what happened. How did Faith, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I asked them what happened. And they tell me, you won't believe this, but we really believe like Minnie was stolen. Right. She was in Verdun in front of a Tim Hortons on Dilly Glee Street, and somebody rescued her. Right. They didn't know the whole story because they didn't have the whole story. They just knew that they wanted to intervene and make sure that this animal company got the dog back to the SPCA. So she didn't have the whole story. She just knew that the dog was... She told me that the dog was trying to be sold in front of Tim Hortons in Verdun in Dilly-Glees, and I live in St. Henry next to a metro. So that's making me assume the person jumped in the metro with my dog and popped up like toast in Verdun. All right.
That's crazy. So, is there underground illegal like animal dog napping circus going on?
That's dog napping to Montreal's finest, bro. But hold on. So now I'm like, wow. Like I don't know who this woman is to save my dog, and I don't know who is the guy that had my dog. Right. So I'm going from a negative charge of emotion to a positive charge of emotion because I have my dog back. But then I'm finding out my dog was in Verdun in somebody's hands trying to be sold for like $100 in front of Tim Hortons. So I'm tripping on my something in my heart now. My brain is trying to come together, but my heart is beating now because I'm just like disgusted. So I get back home. Everything is settling in, bro. And I have to find this woman to thank her because she really did save my dog's life and she really did bring me back to sanity because I was really off the chain. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't me. So I was very, very broken, bro. I've only been broken like this with suffering loss from my mother and my father.
Right. No, I
haven't been broken like that.
No, I've seen you with the dog. You know, I've met Minnie and whatnot. Yeah, a very cute dog. You know, I can see, you know, not saying it's the right thing to do, but I can see why somebody would want to take it. It's a very cute dog. And they're very friendly. Mm-hmm. She's very approachable. But we know Quebecers love their domestic animals. Quebecers love their cats and dogs, and especially during this COVID.
Now, everybody, almost like 75% of Montreal has a dog now. So check this out. When I get back home, I call the police, but the police were more insensitive than any human being I've ever heard because they were actually so insensitive to tell me that even if we, because I wanted to know what my recourse was and maybe if there was some recourse to find out who the guy was by the camera in front of the Tim Hortons. You know what I'm saying? So she just made me feel like a doctor would make you feel if you said, well, like I seen something on Google or I seen something on YouTube and they tell you, stop being an internet doctor. You told them Dr. Oz said this, that, the other, and said, well, I'm a real doctor. I'm not Dr. Oz. You know, doctors tell you shit like that, make you intimidate you. So this officer is really making me feel like intimidated that like no report needs to be made because she was found, number one. But I'm like, but she was stolen. That's like I shot and I didn't miss. You're not going to charge me for shooting?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Because I didn't hit you. I don't get a charge.
And your dog is your property. You know, you would think,
of course,
the police are civil servants. They're there to protect your property and your interest. If your animal is your interest.
I'm so uptight about it, bro. Like, you got me tripping. So, yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, she is your property. It is your property. And for me, it is stolen property. But then they were like, well, how do you prove that she was stolen? Because anybody that would have a dog in their possession that they found would do that, that has the right intent, wouldn't be trying to sell it in front of a Tim Hortons. Yeah. They would be trying to call the SPCA or find a dog's rightful owner. Yeah. At least call an animal agency in your neighborhood.
Exactly.
And they'll tell you what to properly do. Most people do have that heart. Mm-hmm. They want the animal to get back into their rightful owners because they know the animal's not happy. All right. So I went on the radio station, CJAD. Mm-hmm. I called some people that I know because I wanted to find out really who this woman was. I wanted to thank her. And through that, I was able to find out who this woman was.
Oh, glory be unto God. Name, That's what's up, Spock. Social media, no, baby. No, technology,
don't mind, bro. Normally, I do interviews, and I'm really with you, bro. But like, I'm really actually nervous in this interview. I don't know if it's nerves, my anxiety. I don't know. I'm just like really twisted inside of myself emotionally.
Yeah.
And I'm really moving on with my day. Stop. I'm really moving on with my days and my businesses from this. But it's really like a yin and a yang with me emotionally. First, every time I see Minnie, it reminds me of what happened to her. Second, I needed to find a girl. Now I found the girl. So now, like, I invited her over. I said, here, just like, I'm not Ellen. I would give her everything that I have, my shirt, my arm, my left leg, for what she did for my dog. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm not like a super millionaire, super trillionaire like that, you know? But my heart feels like she is a hero. You know what I'm saying? So I've reached out to the mayor's office now.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached out. I've gotten love from Sunwing. I just spoke to the vice president of Sunwing, Sam Char, yesterday, who has a dog. He emailed me immediately when he heard my story about Minnie and this girl that saved my dog. And says, listen, you know, we're not flying right now. We're going through it, this, that, the other, like every airline. We're getting ready to open up. We're going through a lot of different things. But Spark, you can rest assured, as soon as we open up, just have Cindy call me. And we are going to do something for Cindy. and all kinds of restaurants up and down St. Henry.
That's what's up.
You know, that have just telling him the story. I said, listen, just I'd like you just to say, hey, you know, if she comes, she can have a plate of food here. No problem, Spark. No problem.
That's a good gesture on your behalf, Spark. It's a good gesture.
Well, I it's made me go into, you know, I did philanthropy for a beaten boy, Lennard Clark. You know the story. Mm. And it took me 2 years of my time, and I raised over $100,000 of gifts and money and brought him and his panel advisors to Montreal for a week and had over 100 companies rally over what happened to him and his beating. Mm. So I'm not strange to really reaching out to companies and putting people on blast to say, here, you have an opportunity to do the right thing. I spoke to Babies R Us, the head people of Babies R Us and Toys R Us. I'm sending them their emails because Cindy has a one-year-old and a three-year-old. Mm. I'm indebted to her, but I feel that when somebody does something heroic in Montreal, they should be rewarded.
Yeah, yeah, they should be highlighted.
Should be honored.
Yeah.
You understand? Because when you go above and beyond the call of life and your own life,
yeah,
for the risk of somebody's, for a risk of an animal, mm-hmm. and Cindy doesn't, this girl doesn't even own a dog. You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
So she's, yeah. So she had to. She's seen this guy. He was trying to hustle this dog, and she said she looked like he was on drugs and this, that, this. She just knew, and like kind of threw Minnie out of a bag, and she just knew that this guy was that dog did not belong to that guy. She asked him, "Is that your dog?" And he said, "No." He told her with no shame, "No." And she says, "What are you doing with this dog? Where'd you get this dog?" And then she could tell that this dog was in need of a rescue. And she said, give me this dog. She's very French, and you can tell she was feisty.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is Quebec. But
exactly. You know, she was very, very from Verdun, you know, very, very, you know, she speaks just French, and she's like has this really fire spirit about right and wrong. When you see her and you talk to her, you know that. Yeah. And she knew that this was wrong, and she just knew that that was wrong, and that dog is not your dog, and give me this dog. She wrestled with him to get the dog. She got the dog. She ended up in her truck with Minnie. He came back to the truck, got the dog from Minnie out of the truck. She went back to fight for the dog, had two guys help her, fought for the dog with him, told him, if you don't give me the dog, we're going to call the police, this, that, the other. Give me the dog. And he threw Minnie on the ground, and that's how she got Minnie.
Wow. That is crazy. You know, you were speaking about
she
it
ran
before,
back
Spark.
To her car. Yeah. She ran back to her car. You can imagine her heart pumping. You can imagine Minnie's heart pumping, right? She got back in her car and went to her construction company and did the right thing, called the SPCA, and they dispatched a company called Animo with a girl named Aubrey, who was the driver of that car, and she brought her dog to comfort Minnie on the ride back to go to the SPCA.
Oh, look at that.
And then the SPCA did an examination on Minnie, because that's what they do when they get dogs.
Yes.
Like that. And she's fine.
Okay, that's what's
so happening. I'm actually trembling, bro. Like, this story is so insane for me.
Not because you love your animal.
I'm really even holding back my tears in this interview with you, bro. Because, like, I am really, really, like,
it's an experience.
From this.
Yeah, it's an experience.
I don't mean to swear, bro.
But you know.
But, like, you know, like,
No, I totally understand. What's amazing about this story, that despite it comes from a negative connotation, you got to see that there's still people in the city that knows and want to do the right thing. There's still people in the city that want to do the heroic gesture and care about other people. Because, like you said, this lady doesn't even have a dog. Doesn't have a dog of her own. And she still had the presence of mind to go outside herself and say, you know what? That dog does not belong to that gentleman.
You know, I say to myself this question. I want you to, I'm going to play the game with you. Okay? You want to play a game?
Okay.
I'll play a game. All right? I'm going to ask everybody that listens to this interview to play this game along with you and me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay, all right. So here's the game. All right. Now, I told you the story. Everybody that heard the story knows the story. Now you heard the story. What happened to Minnie?
Yeah.
I want you to ask yourself, if you were Cindy coming out your car going into Tim Hortons on a 15-minute break to get a coffee, would you have done what Cindy did?
To be quite honest with you, no.
Just take a thought. You know, ask everybody, take their thought. Put
themselves in that scenario. Much of my city, take a moment, take this in. If you were that young lady on your 15-minute break, you just had time to get your coffee, and you saw the situation unfolding with the dog, and you don't really feel sure that the person that's holding the dog is really her owner, would you have gone outside of yourself to wrestle that said person to get the dog? Would you have put yourself in harm's way?
That's what determines a hero.
Yeah.
And that's the immediate time, space, moment of my dog's universe colliding with this girl's universe. And an angel, if you want to call it,
yeah,
comes down and says, there's going to be something that's going to align perfectly here and the right thing is going to happen. Now, I say to myself, if the Montreal police got that call because of their technical BS, mm-hmm, about a being, a thing, is it his? Maybe he found it. Okay, he morally might not be just a good person, but, you know, I might not have got my dog back. He might have been able to get away.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just do what you have to do at the moment for the right of the cause and deal with the aftermath after. Mm-hmm. But the moral to this story is that people like you in the news do the right thing when you pick up a story like this. Because unfortunately, and I'm a publisher of a newspaper, yeah, you know that.
4 a.m.
Yeah. That's right.
Now take your time. Take your time, Sparks.
Unfortunately, most news want to run with the story that has a dead ending.
Yeah.
Because that's the story that's going to make a good headline.
Yeah.
A happy ending is like, oh, well, she had a happy ending. Okay, well, you know, do we want to run this story? You should run this story.